Mr. Pop.
I used to know a girl called Bone Crusher.
I'm sure you did.
This is Rock and Roll, your weekly shot of sport and music with Kevin Hillier, Brian Mannix and Mark Fine.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Rock and Roll. The planets have aligned again and we, the three bodies, the three celestial heavenly bodies, are here again to regale you with another week of what's happening in the world or rock and roll, whichever comes first. I'm Kevin Hillier. He's Mark Fine. He's back. Hello, Funny.
Hello. Great to be back, but mighty big shoes to fill, literally and figuratively, because I've often been asked the question who the 10 best footballers I've ever seen are, and I include Simon Madden in the top 10.
Wow.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. He was a good player.
Very few players could be all Australian as a ruckman, all Australian as a forward, and he could have been either. He was an absolute star, beautiful tap ruckman, towering, brilliant centre-half forward, an absolute champion footballer.
And his parting words to us last week, Brian Mannix, who joins us now. Hello, Brian.
Hello, fellas. How are we? Simon was great last week. Terrific. Better to talk to him over Zoom than stand next to him because he's about 3.5 feet taller than me. But, great bloke. Ex-St. Bernard boy. Terrific.
Yes, and his parting words were to pass on to you, Finey, was never let yourself be replaced in a program on a temporary basis because you never know what might happen.
I couldn't agree more.
So he's also he's got himself well entrenched in the media kind of fray as well. He's a really lovely human being, and it was a delight to have him on the program.
Yep.
And can I say he does know his stuff about football too. Came up, I think he missed one game in the tipping for the weekend, and he went out in the limb with a cup. No, he missed two, so he had a pretty good week on the tips as well.
So I beat him on the tips as well.
Oh, you shallow
Mr. shallow. Football, here I come.
You incredibly shallow human being, Mannix. Well, let's get over and done with. We'll get to the tips for the coming week's games, but let's just go back. What happened last week? Finey, 18 points.
Ugh.
Hillier, 24 points. Mannix, 28 points.
Oh, this is terrible.
Oh, it's just if I could get a royal commission into it, I would do it, but there's no point because it's actually legit. If only there were some explanation for why this is happening.
All right. Well, it's just going to make it better when he finishes last.
Correct. current leaderboard is Brian Mannix with the gold medal on 145. I'm in second spot on 139. And finally, you have the Lord Nelson going on.
Oh, my God. I'm 34 points behind him.
1-1-1.
Yep. All right.
So there you go.
All right. The challenge is ahead of me.
Correct. That's at the end of round 7 of 24, remember, everybody?
Yep.
Only round 7, Brian. A long way.
I'm well aware of that, my dear Kevin.
God, I hate it when you're confident. why you were? You're in a car or something, are you, Brian? Because your sound was a bit dodgy at the start, but it's all right now.
Yes.
Why are you in a car? What are you doing? You're under police protection?
I'm with the Secret Service, obviously. I've been recording today, and
Jimmy Henwood's.
With Jimmy Henwood's, and we're just putting the finishing touches to a couple of new X-Men tracks. And it went very well, actually, especially after I had one of those Marlboro Greens, the green cigarette. That's when we started doing some really stupid shit.
Right.
Which I think is great.
Is that when the lyrics started to make sense to you?
No, I had to write a new verse today. And, it's fun when you've got to write one who's about 10 minutes to do it. But, I just used all the old skill and mastery and came up with something beaut. And, yeah, I think it's going to be great. Tim's got to finish mixing it, but we can play it on the show in the next week or so.
Oh, good. Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Good news. All right. That's great. Now, let me go. The chart for this week is from May 8th, 1988.
Stinker.
And number 10, She's Like the Wind, Patrick Swayze. Number 9, Whenever You Need Somebody by Rick Astley. Number 8, Hazy Shade of Winter by The Bangles. Number 7, When I Fall in Love, My Arms Keep Missing You by Rick Astley. Number 6, Love in the First Degree by Bananarama. Number 5, I Should Be So Lucky, Kylie Minogue. Number 4, Rev It Up by Jerry Harrison and The Casual Gods. Number 3, Sign Your Name by Terence Trent D'Arby. Number 2, The Stutter Rap by Morris Minor and The Majors. And number 1, Get Out of My Dreams, Get Into My Car by Billy Ocean.
It sounds like the Death Eliza to me, but anyway.
Oh, jeez. I wish it was.
There's some stinkers in there. It's not really shit house, but just nothing great. I was a couple of great, but pretty mediocre chart.
Really, you found a couple that are great? I don't know if I found anything great.
Well, I think there's one that's great and a few that are tolerable.
Okay. Finey, your thoughts on that 1988 chart?
Rick Astley has 2 in the top 10. That's what I think.
Yes, it is the first thing I noticed when I looked at it. I thought, oh, my God, there you go. Now, let's go backtrack to the footy. Oh, no, firstly, I want to ask you, Finey, Lenny's Fine Foods, and we'll get – I should have mentioned Lenny's Fine Foods footy tipping competition when I mentioned it. How did Passover go?
Oh, flat out. Over the last 4 days – I have made from scratch. That means cutting the meat, crumbing, and frying over 250 schnitzels.
Oh, wow.
If I ever see a schnitzel again, I'll dead set, pew up. God, it's hard work. Let me tell you, I've got oil burns on me.
Yep.
But they went everything went very well.
Good on you.
So did you have to sell all the schnitzels the day before? Do you have the shop open on Passover Day?
Open every day. But you see, on Passover, traditional and more observant Jews than me don't eat bread.
That's right, yes.
So you can't use normal breadcrumbs. You use crumbs made out of matzo meal. It actually makes a real... It makes a great schnitzel. Makes a very yeah. Oh, did you know about the constipation?
Yeah, I think probably about a year ago it came up, and you said that. Well, you tell it. You know, it's your story.
No, it's true. I mean, it just doesn't have any fibre in it. So for 8 days, people are not having any fibre, and they famously get constipated. Now tonight's the last night of Passover, so I expect observant Jews to spend the evening trying to pop one out.
Charming.
thank God we've got to the gutter this quickly.
Now, what's the breadcrumb replacement called? What's it called?
Matzo meal. So it's made out of the matzo bread, which is like a dry cracker, and you smash it up into crumbs and eat it. But it actually makes a great schnitzel because it's very, very crispy. So they're very popular. But I had a lovely girl, and I'm going to say Anthea, but I'm terrible with names.
Anthea.
Yeah, something like that. Mm-hmm. But it could be something completely different.
Right.
Coming. Barbara. Barbara, perhaps.
She worked with a girl I used to go to school with all the way back when. And she wanted to come in the shop to meet me because she's a huge fan of Rock and Roll.
Oh, good.
She listens religiously, loves that we're not PC, lovely girl. So if you're listening, Anthea to Barbara or any other possible name, I'm sure you know who I'm talking about. Thank you so much for coming into the shop. It was lovely to meet you. It's always nice when something like that happens.
Yeah, it is good.
A little bit of what's it called? Not vindication. What's the word? Something. The word that makes it all worthwhile anyhow.
Yeah, no, well, it's nice to know that people listen and they enjoy. Got a lovely email this week, or a text message actually, a Facebook Messenger message sent to me from someone who said, you know, that they really loved the program, wanted us actually to go a bit longer with the music at the end. They reckon we they actually said because I got the sack from my Geelong show, I might have some more time on my hands. We could spend that time talking about the chart a bit more. Thanks for that.
Oh, what a lovely backhanded compliment.
But it was not. It's always nice to get feedback and know that people are appreciating what we're doing. It's good.
I mean, I had a shop full of customers and she came in and said she listens to rock and roll. And I said, look, I just want to apologise on behalf of Brian. She goes, no, no, I love Brian. So.
She was drunk. She's obviously drunk or got a drug problem, perhaps.
Yeah. You know, I had to cut her off.
Yes. Fair enough. we had a mixed weekend of football in terms of some of those games were exciting and had great endings and all that, but God, some of them were awful. Some of the bits and pieces I saw of some of the games was. From a St Kilda's point of view, you must have just hated watching your game again.
Yeah. No, it was very hard to watch. Look, we're undermanned, and when I finally found a sign, I know they had a lot of injuries and were there for the beating, but we've got a bottom six that you're not just not going to win games with. We've got six better players, but they're injured or suspended. And we obviously just don't have the depth to cover it. So that's part of football. You know, I'm not saying we're a great team. I'm just saying we would need to have our best 22 on the field and then we'd be a very good team. I mean, out of seven games, we've won two and four of them we've got within 10 points and never had close to our best 22. But I said it on the show on Friday night and I don't.
You named names. You didn't hold back.
Yeah. I mean, Dougal Howard's I'd rather have a strategically shaved monkey put on a jumper than him.
I said that you'd let take the gloves off when you came on the program. You didn't call him that on SEN on Friday night, but you did name him and you named a couple of others.
Oh, well, Ryan Burns, the only time he did not kick the ball straight to the opposition was when he kicked it twice out on the foot. You know, I mean, that's just not AFL standard. But and look, some of the youngsters are very promising.
Yep.
Darcy Wilson's very good. Windhager, Owens, not quite what he was last year, but that's because the ball's not getting down there. There's a kid there, Matthias Philippou. I mean, he's played every game since he started, and he might be a good player, and he probably will be.
Yep.
But he needs to be rested or dropped. He gets 10 touches a game, and most of them are in a state of panic. So I'm pretty sure that they would make those changes if they had the personnel, but it's one player comes back and then Higgins gets rubbed out for 3 weeks, so it's all pretty tricky.
The coach was a little testy after the game with the press.
Yeah. Balls like a three-year-old, little testy.
Mind you, Sam Mitchell had a moment. He banged the desk and then walked out at quarter time and let one of his boys, young Jack Scrimshaw, got an earful.
Yeah.
Which everyone lost their, you know, marbles over and, oh, you shouldn't do that. You don't get the best out of your players. And every now and again you have to do that.
I do like the latter because people who are keen historians of the game know that Hawthorn and North Melbourne entered the VFL in 1925.
Same year that Doggies did.
Now, the Doggies were good quite quickly. They made the finals within 5 years, I think. But North and Hawthorn just not up to the standard and finished last and second last, I think, 6 of the 7 years that they first played in the comp. So it was always North and Hawthorn on the bottom. And, in fact, for a few of those years, the only wins that they had were against each other.
Yeah.
Well, 7 weeks in, and that's all that North and Hawthorn have produced, one win Hawthorn over North.
Yeah, it's not great. The other, when you look at the latter, the most noticeable thing is that both of the grand final teams from last year are languishing.
Yeah, I mean, Brisbane are in trouble. Collingwood, to me, have found their major. So I also did say that I thought the Anzac Day game was close to the best home and away game I'd ever seen. That was everything you want in a grand final, from the first bounce, incredible pressure, to magnificent highlights, and a great example of the footy god giveth and the footy god taketh away. So you had Jamie Elliott take in the top five marks ever taken.
Yep, agreed.
Given it was over Ben Mackay, it was just one of the greatest marks ever. Yep. Yet with 25 seconds to go, he drops a chest mark with inside 50 that he could have gone back and at least scored from. You got Langford, who played a magnificent game. He's such a good forward, Langford. And he's a beautiful kick, missed the goal that would have won the game for Essendon. And you had Dan McStay, who was brilliant all afternoon, have two very gettable shots that he didn't score from. So, you know, it's the highs and lows of an individual. And, I mean, I'll put it to you, blokes. I'm shocked that we still play draws, that we don't have extra time to decide it. You got 90,000 people there that have gone there for a result. This is – football is entertainment that people pay good money to go and see, and they do not go and – you know, a book doesn't end half sentence. A movie doesn't end half premise. Well, at least some don't.
The Sopranos ended half sentence.
Yeah.
Some don't.
But the argument against that, Finey, and I want to get Brian's thoughts on this, but the argument against that is that a draw is an actual result. Brian, you're unlike Finey and I, you have a vested interest in that game on Thursday because it's your team. Did you feel like you won or did you feel like you lost?
Well, Kev, to be honest, I was flying on a plane, and because I'm a platinum member, I could get internet and I could listen to the game. I was listening to halfway and then it jammed or something. So, you know, I really didn't expect us to win this game. But, you know, I picked them because of loyalty. But the fact that we got a draw, I was really happy with that. You know, I was at the first Anzac Day game in, was it 95?
Yep.
And that was a draw. And that, I remember walking away from that going, well, I don't know how to feel, but this one I felt pretty good because I didn't watch the game because I couldn't. But for us to get 2 points, I'm thinking that'll come in pretty handy come finals time when our percentage is maybe not good enough. Yeah. So, but everybody told me that it was a fantastic game, and you know, and I heard really good reports about the umpiring, that they umpired it like a grand final and let things go a bit. But somebody in particular was telling me that they thought the umpiring was particularly good. Now, I don't know. I didn't see it. But, I was happy with the result because I expected not to get any points. So, yeah.
I thought it was a terrific game. Watched with my son, who's a Collingwood supporter, and you know, the highs and lows of it. It was good to watch. Really good. Funny, you said before Dan McStay missed two.
Sorry, I meant Brady Majek. I said Dan McStay because I was getting tattooed today by his father.
I was going to say, you're getting your tats mixed up with your Brady Majek, who has won Collingwood some games, just couldn't hit a cow on the ass with a frying pan, unfortunately.
But he played brilliantly.
So you want extra time? Is that what you're saying? You want a result of every
100%.
Game? 100%. Okay.
I want a result. You know,
What about gold?
No, you can't have golden point because
golden goal.
Yeah, that's not fair because there's still a wind advantage at some grounds. If that happened at Hobart, for example, you can't let one team kick with a 5-goal breeze.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
Good. They've both got to have five minutes plus time on each way. So about 6 minutes of footy, 6.5 minutes of footy. And we should get a result.
So what if we don't, though? What if we play the extra time? We can't do a penalty shootout like soccer does.
No, then we bring out the lap dancers, Kev. No one's going to give a shit about the result once they come out.
If it's a draw after that, then golden point.
Okay.
Then bad luck, whoever had the luck of kicking
And then there's no luck after that. Golden shower.
would you go back if you got to the point, because this is what they do in the NFL, and we are so driven by that. They do another coin toss. So if you got to the point where you went to that extra time period of 5 minutes each way, still a draw, the next thing is golden point, would you do another coin toss then to pick which way you're going to kick?
Yeah, okay. That's fair enough.
Okay.
That's good. I like that.
Well, then the game could be decided on the toss of the coin, but not really.
And people say, oh, but tradition and whatever. Well, finals used to be replayed after a draw.
Yeah.
And we've seen common sense there. That no longer happens.
Wasn't there a game of cricket or footy or something or soccer or something that was decided by the flip of a coin? Does anybody recall
that? Yeah, that happened in cricket, I think.
Yeah, I think it was cricket. So heads or tails. Well, there you go.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. But that was not the highlight of the football weekend.
What was the highlight of the football weekend, Finey?
It happened at halftime in the Port Adelaide St Kilda game. The greatest thing ever happened.
What was that?
So, you know, we had Live Golf in Adelaide over the weekend.
Yes.
So many of the star players went to the footy on Friday night.
Right.
And to recognise that, Port Adelaide put up a prize, a brand new car for a member whose name was drawn out of a hat and they picked Henrik Stenson to hit a ball from the goal square to the centre of the ground, and they put a flag in the centre of the ground.
Yep.
And if he hit the flag, the guy would win a car.
Oh, wow.
One shot, and he hit the flag.
Did he hit it?
Yeah, he hit the pin.
Yeah.
The flag, but, you know, the pin that goes in the hole?
Yeah.
He had to hit it for the guy to win the car, and he hit it.
Wow.
A bit dirty, isn't it?
Not a bad effort.
That's sensational. That's sensational. Didn't they once do something with Greg Norman or something at Waverley or somewhere at one stage, the golf thing?
I don't remember. Oh, I don't know.
They did something with Uncle Norman and Joffa Boy, and it was a terrific success. It really was.
Thanks, Brian.
Yeah.
So the bloke wins the car. Oh, wow.
Yep.
Oh, that's I completely missed that. Was that on the television? Because I must have been obviously watching something else.
I heard it on
TV. How did you miss it? It was the play of the day. He got to do burnouts and there was shit going everywhere, smoke. People were loving it. Kids were crying. Perfect way to finish a game of footy.
There you go. But it was at halftime, Brian.
Yeah, all right. That'd get me on a technicality.
Actually, speaking of the golf in Adelaide on the weekend, what a wonderful advertisement for golf in terms of having the big names and the big crowds. The PGA Tour, who were, you know, competing with the Live Golf Tour for the hearts and minds of golfers all over the world, need to pull their finger out and have a think about their presence in Australia, because if they don't do something about it, we'll be a Live Golf nation if we're not already.
Yeah, of course. So we should be.
Got their head up their bum, I think, the PGA.
Yep.
The US PGA Tour.
Yeah, and that's what Greg Norman said all along. You know, it had become a closed shop
They wouldn't come out here. They only came out here for things like the President's Cup and stuff like that. They wouldn't actually bring an event or come out or get behind the Australian Open, which at one stage was a premium event on the world circuit. It wasn't even good enough to be on their secondary tour.
You can't promote world golf and only play it in one country.
Yep.
They have a couple of tournaments here and there, but I think they have one in Asia, one in Puerto Rico or something. But it's a game now played around the world. And you just look at the top 10 players in the world and they're from all different countries. Yeah, why should they all play in America all the time?
Yep, couldn't agree more. Hey, how about this bloke? This is quite sorry, I'll change it. How about this person? Teenage Indonesian off-spinner, Romalia Romalia, set a record last week. She, I said bloke, it's a she. She claims 7 wickets for no runs, the best figures ever recorded in all T20 international cricket. 17 years old, 7 for none. It's the best ever in men's or women's. Bowled 20 deliveries, all dot balls, and dismissed 7 batters for ducks to achieve.
Who was she playing?
Playing Mongolia, playing for Indonesia against Mongolia. Mongolia were bundled out for 24. No batter got double figures.
Oh, dear.
10 extras in that 24.
Are there any of us that don't think we could take a wicket against Mongolia?
The Mongolian women's team.
Yes.
Well, they're the best. The men are rubbish.
But you've still got to land the ball on the pitch. You've still got to get the wicket. I don't know. I didn't see. It didn't say anywhere whether it was 7 bowled or caught or stumped or whatever they were. But 7 for none in any version of cricket is good.
Well, it brings up the famous joke.
Mm?
Did you hear about the famous Indonesian female spinner?
No.
Jakarta? No, she actually bowled very tight.
Yes, Jakarta. Oh, very good. I like it.
No, look, just back to the Mongolian women's cricket team.
Yes.
No, I think I'd definitely take it because those girls, they don't like a bit of chin music, I tell you.
Is that right, Brian?
You get a few up near their chin there, they shit themselves, then you just chuck in a Yorker and they're gone.
There you go, Brian Mannix. Bowling strategist to the Punjabis.
Look, I wouldn't, if you're playing, Uzbekistan, I wouldn't go with the chin music. But for Mongolia, that's the way to beat them.
All right. Thank you, Brian.
I don't know. I claim to know a fair bit about sport, but I've got to say, if I went on hard quiz with my special topic, Mongolian women's cricket, I don't think I'd do too much.
No. Don't think you'd be there at the end.
Well, actually, it might be a good topic to do because when I did politics at school, and one of the branches was foreign policy, and I did Australian-Indonesian relations, because basically at that point in the 70s, only 3 things had ever happened between Australia and Indonesia, so it didn't matter what question they asked you, you were going to bring up these 3 things to prove your point. So I think Mongolian women's cricket is probably a pretty safe bet to look like an expert and have it all down.
So the answer to all of the questions in your political one there was, President Suharto, and the answer to this one is Romali Romalia. Simple as.
Yeah, 1956, Australian forces were directly involved on Suharto, was it? We were actually directly involved in the conflict with them in, I think, 1956. Anyway.
There you go.
We can talk more about Australian-Indonesian politics on next week's show.
Yes.
Because we've had a lot of letters, Kev. People are very keen to know.
I'm sure they are. Now, it looks like Gil McLaughlin's firming as the new CEO of racing in Victoria. Why things are
Let it go, Gil.
Righto.
I bet he's firming. It pays well.
Mm. So that's one little thing. A-League soccer is into its final series now. The home and away season's finished. The EPL's just about done and dusted. The title race is interesting.
Very exciting ending there. Liverpool, who drew with West Ham on the weekend, they've dropped out of the running.
It's but City or Arsenal by the looks of it.
Arsenal had a bit of a scare against your Tottenham.
They didn't. In all,
well, they were 3-0 up.
Oh, they were, and then it was 3-2. But we didn't get to 3-2 until there was about 4 minutes left, and I didn't think we were going to do any good then.
A little scare.
City will win the title. They've got a game in hand, and they're what 1 point? Are they 1 point or 2 points behind Arsenal? 1 point, I think.
They're a game in hand, 1 point behind.
Yeah.
And last game of the season, they play West Ham, so we might be, even though we're middle of the table with not much to prove.
Could be deciding.
We could be involved in a very interesting game.
And by the looks of it, that's what I meant to mention too. Leicester are back up.
Yep.
They'll be coming back up. Ipswich look like they might be one of the other teams that comes back up with them if things go right.
Ipswich or Leeds, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, so they're still a thing. And, Brian, we talked about this, I think it was last week or might have been the week before. The new series of Wrexham is about to start.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, it's this month.
Unfortunately, I know the result.
Yeah, well, that's you still enjoy it.
It's good for me watching what it means to those people in that little Wales town of Wrexham. And the little stories, like, as we spoke about, you know, the bloke that was an alcoholic and he's given up the grog and now he's going to dedicate himself to his kids. His wife hates him, and that's understandable. But, I can't wait. Oh, that's fantastic. I'm really excited about that.
Yep, late May, I think it is, May 24 or 25. I saw it in a schedule over the weekend, so that's good. Now, before we get to round 8 of 24
just
of Lenny's.
Just on stuff to watch on TV.
Yes.
Starting in a couple of days on Stan, I think, is the miniseries The Tattooist of Auschwitz.
Oh, yes. I've read some stuff on that over on the weekend too.
So I've always been friends with Gary Sokolov. That's the son of the Tattooist of Auschwitz.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so the Tattooist of Auschwitz, I'm not sure his surname, first name, Sokolov, came to Melbourne after the war. And Gary's a couple of years older than me, but he comes in the shop all the time. And I've known Gary for 40 years.
Okay.
Wow. But he's the son of the Tattooist of Auschwitz.
That's right.
Wow. I was talking to a friend of mine, and she's really excited about watching this show. Yeah. And I was sort of going, oh, I don't know. I've seen enough. You know, it's really sad and depressing. I don't know. But, I'll tell her about that. Very interesting. Yep.
So another, it looks good. Yeah. Another Harvey Keitel special by the looks of it.
Yep.
He's a great actor.
Oh.
And the family got invited to London because it premiered in London English TV, and they went there, and, yeah, they've been made to feel very much a part of the production, and, yeah, it's very interesting.
Oh, very good. Yeah, no, it looks stunning in terms of the way they've gone about doing it. It looks like one of those ones that you'll, as Brian said, you're not going to be, you know, it's not a happy ending at each episode.
Well, I hope it's a happy ending because I think it's a love story and they're in the prison, love story between barbed wire. And I'm hoping like hell that they finish up together and move to Melbourne.
Well, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, well. I'll have to check that one out.
Now, before we get to the round 8 tips for Lenny's Fine Foods footing tipping competition, which Brian leads with 145, would be remiss of us not to mention that Kyle and Jackie O started their sojourn into Melbourne radio today, their national breakfast.
Jackie O!
Thank you, Brian.
Sorry, that was a sample that I just hit on the soundboard.
Mm. They started today, and Melbourne Radio is all a quiver.
Well, we need a fat bloke looks like a toad just hanging shit on everything on our Melbourne Radio, I would imagine.
Well, if you're into all sorts of depravity, you now have a radio
you
show
can,
that
you can have sex with Kyle Sanderlands, perhaps. I don't. Actually, apparently he's a very, very nice guy.
Oh, apparently.
Yeah. Okay.
Just not on air.
Let's talk about round 8 of the tips. Here we go. Starts Thursday night. This is the they haven't officially given this round a title, but it is basically a lot of rivalries.
It's the root around, isn't it?
Okay. Well, we start. Let's head down to Adelaide first up. Adelaide Oval, the showdown. Adelaide and Port Adelaide. 7:30 Thursday night. Some juicy odds up for grabs in a couple of these games, but this one isn't one of them. It's 5 apiece for Adelaide and Port Adelaide. And as I should mention, the draw, as the way Finney's worked this competition out, if you pick your team and they draw, that's a win. You get the points. So, Brian, you got the 6 points for Essendon in the draw with Collingwood, and Finney and I each got 4. So we all scored.
Yep.
Yeah.
But you picked your team. You scored more because
and that's fair because they were the outsiders. You deserve to do better than us.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a bit like when we went to that Bachelor and Spinsters ball when we were 17. We all scored.
5 and 5, Adelaide and Port Adelaide. Brian, what are you going to score this time? 5 for Adelaide or 5 for Port Adelaide? This is a quandary for you.
I think Port Adelaide at 5 is generous. But with these things, you know, it's a derby, or I think that's what they call it, or a derby, I don't know, whatever.
Showdown.
So, anything can happen. But, Port for me.
I think Port might be in a bit of trouble if – is Rosie out?
Yep.
Pau Pepper has done his knee.
Yep. Alirealia's out.
And Alirealia, obviously, concussion protocols. I think they might be in a little trouble covering them.
Well, I thank you for telling me all this information after I'd made my tip.
Why do you reckon it's 5 apiece?
Yeah. I think it comes back very much to an even ball game because Adelaide aren't going that bad, and Port, they're three very, very important players for them.
Yeah, but they've got the young kids who are going to step up and be magnificent.
Okay. Well, that's why you've picked Port Adelaide, and it's why I picked Adelaide to win this one. Finey?
Adelaide.
No!
Carlton and Collingwood, Friday night, MCG, packed to the rafters. It will be the filth of worth 5, and the black and white boys also obviously worth 5. Brian? Carlton, Collingwood.
I'll go for Collingwood, I think.
I'm in agreement with you there, Brian. I think Collingwood will win that. Finey?
Pretty interesting game.
Oh, yeah.
And you are miles behind. Could be Carlton. A chance to catch up, Finey.
Yeah, Carlton.
You're going with Carlton?
You
will have a jam-packed, I'm sure you do every Friday night anyway, but you will have a jam-packed switchboard full of callers on Friday night. It'll be a beauty. Been hanging out for that one. Saturday afternoon at the SCG, it's these two New South Wales sides, Sydney for 6, Giants for 4. Toby Green's back, I think, this week, is he not? He only copped a week's suspension, so he's back. The Swannies, they've been looking the goods, but as have the Giants. Brian.
What was the score, the points again, Kev?
6 for the Swannies, 4 for the Giants.
I lean towards the Giants, but damn it, I'll take the 6 points. I'll go the Swan.
The Swan? It's considered their home game at the SCG, obviously, because the Giants play out of Giants Stadium. Finey?
Giants.
I'm a Giants man too, to be honest. I like them a lot. I think they're very good. St Kilda take on North Melbourne Saturday afternoon at Marvel Stadium at 4:35. St Kilda will get you 3 points. North Melbourne will get you 7. Now, that is a very tempting 7, Brian.
I'm totally tempted, Kev. I'm going for the Kangaroos for 7 points.
Right. I think that's an absolutely ridiculous thing to do. St Kilda are struggling, but I've watched a little bit of North Melbourne on the weekend, and I'm sorry. You want to talk about AFL standard, Finey. I didn't see anything about North Melbourne that struck me as being AFL standard at all. Who are you tipping?
St Kilda.
Melbourne play Geelong at the MCG on Saturday night, packed to the rafters again. Will the MCG be? They'll have just kicked the Carlton and Collingwood supporters out in time to have the Melbourne supporters and the Geelong supporters who were there. And, Jesus, they were there in big numbers on the weekend for that game. Melbourne gets you 6. The Cats get you 4 because they're undefeated on top of the ladder, Brian.
I don't really like either team. Mm-hmm. But, no, I'm going to go for – six for Melbourne, is it? Yeah, okay, I'll take that.
You take the 6 for Melbourne?
Yeah, I think Geelong will win, but 6 points. I think it's pretty close, so I'll go for the 6.
Well, I think Geelong are going to lose one eventually, and I think this might be the one they lose. Saturday night at the MCG, I'm going for Melbourne. Finey?
Geelong. I was going to go for Melbourne, but if you two are going for Melbourne, I'll go for Geelong.
I would normally pick Geelong, but I just think they've got to lose one eventually. At some stage, they'll drop one. I reckon this might be time for them to drop it.
My instinct said Geelong, but anyway, 6 points. You sucked me in, Finny.
Saturday night at Optus Stadium, though, in Perth, the Eagles take on Essendon. Your boys, Brian, will get you two.
I'll take the two, Kev.
The Eagles will get you eight. You want your two for your boys? Finny?
I'll take the Eagles.
Bombers are good. Although, you know, it's probably the game that they'll drop, actually. You might be right, Finny. Essendon, they have a knack of winning games that they shouldn't win and losing ones that they should.
Two is not going to mean that much difference to me. So if the Eagles were to get up and I get the eight, that gives me a 6-point breaker on you, Brian. I'm taking the Eagles.
Ooh, yeah, don't blame you.
We're both going for the 8 points. That's the beauty of this competition.
Yes, that's exactly right. Yeah, and it's not going to cost us much if he gets the two and they win. So
correct. That's why I tipped St Kilda last week.
Yeah. That made the perfect sense why you tipped St Kilda last week. Richmond take on Frio Sunday afternoon, 1 o'clock at the MCG. Richmond will get you seven, aren't they? Stinking up the room. And Frio will get you three. They had a pretty good win, the old Frio. Richmond at the MCG. No, I think Frio will win this one. Brian?
Look, I've been back in Frio all year, but, you know, Richmond did beat Carlton, didn't they? Who's out for Richmond? Is anybody out that's of great significance?
Yeah, Richmond beat Carlton in 2021.
Didn't they beat them this year?
No.
No. Carlton just beat them.
Yes.
No.
Through some dodgy umpiring. Oh, well, buddy, yeah, I don't care. Yeah, I don't care. Them. Yeah, okay. Look, no, I think I'm going to do a Kev, and so I reckon they're due. I'm going to go to the Tigers. So 7 points. What the heck?
Yep. Finey?
Frio.
Frio for you and for me. Doggies take on the Hawks at Marvel Stadium, 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. The Doggies will get you two, which obviously is what I'm going for. The Hawks will get you eight. They weren't very good last week either, but I have to say I think the Doggies are not going very well. Maybe my expectation is a bit higher than others, but I don't think we're very convincing at all. Brian, Doggies for two, Hawks for eight.
Look, common sense says pick the Dogs, but they weren't they rubbish last week, Kev? We didn't get your review of the game.
They lost. They finished up losing by 24 points. They were still in the game three-quarter time and into the start of the last quarter, but got run over.
Look, and I'm getting how much for Hawthorn? Eight.
Eight.
Did you say?
Yes.
Yeah, look, I'll take that. They'll be embarrassed. I think they might fire up. And for 8 points, yeah, let's take it.
Okay. Finey?
Hawthorn are hopeless. Bulldogs.
Can I ask you, Finey, who do you, before you get to the final game, who do you rate as the worst team in the competition?
Oh, North Melbourne, clearly. North,
okay.
Hawthorn pants them.
Final game of the round is Sunday night at the Gabba. At 10 past 7, the Lions take on the Gold Coast Suns. The Lions will get you three, Brian. The Suns, your boys, will get you seven.
I'll take the seven, Kev. Go to Suns.
Finey?
I mean, there's something wrong with Brisbane, but they're better than Gold Coast at home, surely, so I'll go for Brisbane.
They haven't won a game at the Gabba yet.
No, that's odd, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very, very odd. I think they'll win this one, but it is very strange. Their form is – I don't think they're playing bad. They're not playing bad football all the time, but they
didn't at the start. Didn't at the start of the season, Finey, you say they're a bunch of big heads, they just expect the win to come and they're lazy, something along those lines. And I think that's very accurate.
Yeah, well, there's something wrong with them.
Mm.
I mean – how Eric Hipwood doesn't get dropped, I don't know, but anyhow.
He couldn't hit the side of a barn, that bloke.
Yes, you've always been very Hipwood, critical of him.
Hipwood, he's like my two-wood.
Your two-wood? Yes. Never very straight and never very consistent. No, he's all over the shop. But mind you, the whole team's been all over the shop.
Who are you tipping?
Me? I'll pick Brisbane. I know they haven't won a game at the Gabba. I think they're going to win one. I rate them high. I rate their list higher than Gold Coast list.
Yeah.
And I think they're due to do something that they've got to rescue their season, and I reckon they'll do it this week.
Yep.
All right, Brian.
Mm.
We've had dodgy sound all night because you're in the car, but you know what it's time for?
Ladies and gentlemen, don't be frightened. Maybe you should be frightened, because now it's time for this week's episode of The Death Alliance.
All right. Now, you laugh at the end, not this bit.
Sorry. No, my mistake.
Not the intro bit.
You got the laugh.
Thank you. Now, a couple from the racing world. Dave O'Sullivan, the New Zealand trainer, passed away at the age of 90. He had, of course, amongst other things, a Melbourne Cup runner-up, a Japan Cup winner in 1989 with Horlicks. He had Waverley Star, was one of his horses, of course, was in the what was lovingly called the Race of the Century. Was it the Race of the Century they called that one with Waverley Star and Bone Crusher?
Fine. Yeah.
Yeah. So he was.
Yeah, I mean, it proved not to be, because Waverley Star, which was called Our Waverley Star here, ended up not being a great horse after that, and famously, Bone Crusher won that race.
Yes,
but Bill Collins was gone at the turn. He'd gone too early, Bill, and
I used to know.
I was there that day, by the way.
Of where?
Yeah, I rarely go to the races, but I was there for that. I got sucked in.
At the Valley? Was it the Valley?
Yep, at the Valley.
The Valley? Sorry, Brian.
I used to know a girl called Bone Crusher.
I'm sure you did. Brian Tobin passed away at the age of 93, a member of the Tennis Hall of Fame.
Well, he just went straight to Tobin Brothers and got buried. Easy.
I knew. It was too weird. Of course, a player administrator in the tennis world, and was the president of the International Tennis Federation during the 90s. A well-known name in Australian tennis, Brian Tobin, 93.
In the you said you had a couple of racing deaths.
No, just one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, just one. No, we did Lonro last week, I think. The horse that passed.
Hasn't got any better?
No. No, hasn't recovered. In the rugby
condition, league. The condition remains stable.
Oh. See, last week's Death Eliza was very reverent. There was hardly any humour whatsoever in the Death Eliza last week.
You know you can go and see Lonro now.
Can you? Whereabouts?
Pet food aisle, of course.
Thank you.
And I tell you what, I love what we've done with Farlap. You can go and see her stuffed carcass here, and then go to the Canberra Museum and check out her heart. Go to Adelaide.
Who was the he, by the way?
Yeah, I was about to say.
Oh, well, yeah, I want to. You check out his heart. Then you go to Adelaide and check out his kidneys. They got his freaking lungs up in Perth. And Brisbane's, you got the pancreas up on display. Yeah. So
I just want to point out that Farlap identified as a gelding. So just.
Yeah. I mean, his balls are long gone, so you can't see them.
Okay. Now, from the rugby league world, Terry Hill passed away at the age of 52. Well known to.
Wow, that's young.
Yeah. Well known to a lot of people as one of the members of the Sydney Footy Show. He was also one of the crew that did the Lowe's menswear ads with Paul Vorton. Played for Australia.
Was he Canterbury?
No, he played for a number of clubs. He played for Manly, played for East, played for Souths. Not sure he played for Canterbury.
Was there a Hill that played for Canterbury?
Yeah, there's been a couple of Hills around the place.
Yeah.
He played for Australia 9 times, 14 state of origins. He was a very good player, Terry Hill, a very funny man too, but, had a heart attack in the Philippines at the age of 52 and is gone.
Wow.
In the entertainment world, Mike Pinder, who was a founding member of the Moody Blues, passed away at the age of 82. He's in the...
you gotta go now, go now.
He was in the band when they go had that. Now. Denny Lane sang Go Now. Of course, Denny Lane went on to be in Paul McCartney's band, Wings. But Mike Pinder was an original member of the Moody Blues. He was the one who came up with the Mellotron and brought that into the Moody Blues music.
It's a Mellotron.
Yeah, so in the English Music Hall of Fame, in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, as a member of the Moody Blues. He passed away at the age of 82. And Graham Webb passed away at the age of 88, was the original host and producer of Sounds Unlimited. He'd been on television before Sounds as the host of Blind Date, and I think the original host of Jeopardy.
Was he involved with It's Academic? No.
He might have
been. No, there was a web on It's Academic.
Oh, he might have been.
Yeah, that was like Monopoly quiz show.
Oh, yeah. I was on It's Academic, the Brisbane version of it. I remember that. But
What did you?
Andrew Harwood was the It's Academic.
Let's not digress here. You went on It's what's the show
my
called?
My school did. The school went and, there. I wasn't on camera. I was the reserve for the team, I think, or something like that. One of the reserves.
You were the reserve. What? In case one of the kids got injured answering a question.
In case I tripped one of them getting out of the bus.
you were the fourth smartest kid at the school.
Oh, I don't even know that I qualified for that. I might have been just available at the time. I just wanted to go on the bus because all the girls were on the bus.
Can I ask you a question? See how you go.
Oh, shit, no. I got my hand on the buzzer, Andrew, Mr. Harwood. Mr. Harwood, I'm ready to go. Mr. Harwood.
Who is the captain of the Mongolian women's cricket team?
Romalia Romalia. Oh, I didn't push the button. Romalia Romalia.
No, she's...
Oh, Jakarta?
No, she...
Jamaica?
She bolts. She went of her own accord.
Thank you. So Graham Webb passed away at the age of 88. Now, it sounds unlimited. He was the man behind it before, and he was the first host, and then he handed over the hosting role to Donnie Sutherland, and went behind the camera. And Graham was the bloke who, because Sound Unlimited is one of the first shows to do video film clips, and he got together with this bloke and said, look, I've got this show. I need to have some clips to run the music on a Saturday morning. And he and this tape operator from Channel 10 in Sydney or whatever it was, Channel 7 or whatever it was in Sydney, they started to make video clips of the music. That bloke turned out to be Russell Mulcahy, who, of course, turned out to be the man who made all the video clips for NXS, Duran Duran, Fleetwood Mac, you name it, he made them all.
And let's not forget that beautiful movie Razorback.
Correct. He did do that as well. The wild.
We're pig. Still trying to work out what was going on there, but anyway.
So Graham Webb, yes. So that is.
Well, Graham Webb, I think I'm starting to remember what he looked like. He had like a hair helmet, didn't he? And did he have a moustache?
No moustache, but he had like little kind of like a little bucky kind of a mouth. But he was a very, very long standing radio man as well. Started Sydney radio, Brisbane radio.
If he was the producer of Sounds Unlimited, he fucked up a few of my days. After you'd get home at 4, you'd be up at 6 to go and do Sounds Unlimited.
That was 8 o'clock on you. 8 o'clock, we were on camera, let alone on set.
Yeah. And coming from Bondi to where it was, but yeah. But anyway, thank you, Greg Webb. Yeah.
Graham
Webb and his brother Greg, who's likely to come back for Carlton this week with Mike Walsh.
all right, close it up, Brian. That's it.
That's enough death, destruction, and sadness. That concludes tonight's episode of The Desolator.
May 8th, 1988, the ARIA chart.
Hang on, I bought my wife a sewing machine.
Singer?
Try again. I bought my wife a sewing machine.
Oh, hang on. What sort?
No, you've got.
Yeah, I know. Shit. Oh, what's the famous? No. Janome. No.
I wouldn't be talking to you if I didn't.
Jesus, I knew I'd get there eventually.
I used to know a girl called Dyson.
Stuck well.
So that wasn't her last name. Was she a stick?
Gilbert used to have 100 of these, Joe. I just saw a band from Asia.
Yeah.
Singapore? Yeah, but the drummer was good.
Oh, okay.
I went to the pet shop this morning. I'm going to buy anything. Look around. Budgie. was cheap.
There was a budgie going cheap. Thank you.
I had a mate of mine used to work in a pet shop. He got sacked.
What for?
Got caught with his hands in the trill.
I've done the top 10 from this chart of 1988, and we mentioned that there are two Rick Astleys in there. There should be a musical law against there being two Rick Astleys in the top 10 in any chart anywhere, even retrospectively. At least one of them should be taken out. Never a fan.
Didn't the UN pass a motion in 1994?
Should have.
You can't have two Rick Astley.
Yeah, should have. And I've got to ask the question. This chart begs the question: what the bloody hell is a Billy Ocean song doing at number one? God, Billy Ocean annoyed the shit out of me when I was on the radio.
Well, I liked him when he. Oh no, there was an ad for a K-Tel album or something, and it was like, you know, like, and we got ABBA, we got this, and then this black dude doing singing, he's, you know, hip and cool like we weren't, and he goes, and my man Billy Ocean, and they run around town, and I just never got past, and my man Billy Ocean, so here I am 40, 50 years later, I'm still repeating that guy. So I got a soft spot for Billy Ocean because of my man Billy Ocean.
Right. Okay. Well, your thoughts on this chart, Finey?
All right. So I'm going to start at the top. Get out of my car. What's the song called?
Get out of my dreams and get in my car or something.
Yeah. Get out of my dreams in my car.
Yeah.
So there was a great, by Billy Ocean, there's a great sketch on Saturday Night Live. It's 40 years of Soul Train and the songs that never made it, the X on Soul, you know, and it's a piss take, obviously.
Yep.
And who'll forget Ocean Billy with Get Out of My Dreams and Into My Car? So not Billy Ocean, Ocean Billy. It's just one of the guys on the crew there, and he sings the song, Get Out of My Dreams and Into My Car. Get into the boot. Get into the boot. Shut up. So that's all I stuck with, the Ocean Billy. But my favourite song on the charts has got a great story, backstory to it, which is Am I Ever Going to See Your Face Again? So it's actually a song I really like. It's not that high up on this chart.
No, it's 40 but, in the 40s.
Yeah, so let me tell you the story of Am I Ever Going to See Your Face Again?
Yep.
It was first released as a ballad in the 70s, but it was no good. So they decided to do a pub rock version of it. It was written by, I think, the lead guitarist.
Mr. Brewster.
Rick Brewster.
Rick Brewster?
Yep.
Maybe him and his brother.
John, yep.
Yep.
But, of course, the most famous thing about Am I Ever Going to See Your Face Again is No Way. Get Fucked, Fuck Off.
Correct.
So there's a bit of a story behind that, of course. Now, first of all, the story actually, the song is very sad because it was written about a friend of Doc Neeson's girlfriend who died in a motorbike accident. So it's actually a very sad song. But, and it also shared some lines with a Status Quo song. So they had to come to an agreement with Status Quo, and Status Quo actually got royalties from that song because I think they admitted that they might have heard it in a pub somewhere and the line stuck.
Well, I can elaborate with this in a minute.
So the first time they ever heard Am I Ever Going to See Your Face Again, No Way, et cetera, was at a pub or at a gig in Mount Isa. And apparently Doc Neeson thought the crowd was having a go at the band, telling him to F off. So he spoke to some members of the crowd. They said, no. And he got told it got started at a blue light disco in Sydney where whenever it came to that part of the song, the DJ had turned the volume down so the crowd could say it. Anyhow, it became very, very famous. Everybody, you can barely hear the song now without saying it in your head.
Oh, absolutely.
But famously, in 1999, the Angels were doing a benefit concert in East Timor for the troops. And who was the head of the Australian?
Cosgrove.
Cosgrove.
Major Peter Cosgrove.
He was there with Peter Cosgrove was sitting there with a senior Roman Catholic bishop from East Timor, Bishop Bello, and the famous East Timorese spokesman, Ramos Horta. And apparently when all the troops yelled out, "No way, get fuck off," and Bishop Bello turned around to Peter Cosgrove and said, "What were they saying?" And he said, "Oh, I couldn't make it out." And then him and Ramos Horta shared a smile because they both knew exactly what it was.
I can see Peter Cosgrove doing that because he's a bloody character.
Yeah, so, yeah, a famous song. It got to number 11 on the charts in Australia, and it also was voted in at number 11 as the most Australian pop song of all, you know, the most Aussie rock song of all time. So it
should be.
It's part of our culture and a great song.
So it should be. Brian?
Well, I think it's a great song too, and because we're on this and I can elaborate a little bit more on what Finey said. I didn't know it was Status Quo, but somebody said to me, "This song is such a ripoff." And I said, "What, really?" And they played me some songs that had different lyrics, but the melody was exactly the same. The arrangement was exactly the same, you know, like when it go to "Can't Stop the Memories," we go da 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 da, and it's totally not surprising to me because I heard this song. I don't know what it was, but it's not surprising me that they give half the royalties to Status Quo or whoever wrote the original, because kind of they might have put in the da 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 down down the riff. But it's, and they changed the lyrics, but melody-wise, it's exactly the same as whatever the original was, and that's why you'd have to be paying royalties. And the other interesting thing about this song is it came out on
the Status Quo song was "Lonely Night."
Okay.
Well, yeah. Look, lyrically, it's totally different, but the melody and the arrangement, I don't know if that's the song, but it's exactly the same. I've heard lots of songs that kind of rip off things like "Waiting for the World to Change" and the Jeff Beck, Rod Stewart song. They're pretty similar. But that one, and it was on their first album, which is a pretty good album, but they just don't have their style together yet. And then, as you know, Kev, Mark Opitz and John Brewster, they went and saw Graham Parker the night before that to start recording Face to Face. And suddenly it's like, bam. And Mark Opitz noticed that, gee whiz, punk's got really sophisticated. And hence that's the name of his book. But the style of that song came from watching something that Graham Parker was doing. So there you go. And in-depth thing on, am I ever going to see your face again? So there you go.
And we've got to go. Any final thoughts on the chart before we wrap it up, Finey?
Well, what are your thoughts, Kev? Have we heard yours?
Yeah, no, Rick Astley. The only other thing is there should be a law against Michael Bolton doing cover versions of great songs like "Sitting on the Dock of the Bay." That should not be allowed. There should be someone who sits in a recording studio going, "No, can't do it. Don't let him do it. Don't let it happen."
But he reworded it, didn't he?
Oh, hang on.
Here we go.
Wasn't Michael Bolton's version "Sitting on the Dick of the Gate"?
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly, and that's exactly why he shouldn't have been able to do it. And that's exactly why we have to go.
Natalie just walked in the room. If you could see the look she just gave me.
And you've been pretty good most of the show. Yeah, and she just walks in on the worst moment.
Very well behaved up until now. Now he's let himself off the leash. Thank you, Finey. Have a wonderful week at Lenny's Fine Foods.
Yeah, if we lose to North Melbourne, this is my last show. Simon Madden, I'll be back.
Have a good week, boys. I know you've got the countdown shows coming up, Brian, so enjoy those, and we'll talk to everyone next week. We're running late for the news.
You've just experienced Ruck and Roll. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Facebook.